Morning.
We welcome you to the second Sunday of Advent. It's a great, beautiful day, full of activities for us, and we hope that you'll avail yourself of all. Of course, we'll have our worship service this morning, and then immediately following the worship service, we would invite you to stay in your seat, and we'll have our annual congregational meeting where we do as we are directed by the Constitution. We will affirm our leadership for the coming year. We'll adopt our budget, and you'll hear some updates of a couple ministry and mission opportunities that we're going to be going into for the coming year. Also, we are really blessed. I did not know that Belgium, to be such a small country, has so many distinctions. It is the diamond capital of the world. It is the beer capital of the world. It is the waffle capital of the world. And of the, have I left anything out, Sal?
That's enough.
But don't get your hopes up. Werner's bringing one of those three to us today. We are looking forward to it. It looks great, and a lot of work that Werner and Kathy have put into it. We will have a waffle, Belgian waffle, lunch, and Kathy has even hand-dipped, I don't know, a whole tray full of strawberries and chocolate of some sort. So they put a lot of effort into that. So we're grateful to enjoy that. So join us with fellowship. And then after that, at 3 o'clock in our sanctuary, we'll have a memorial service here for Donna Langford. We had one yesterday up in the valley. And today we'll be having that. And there will be an opportunity during that service for anyone who would like to share any stories or thoughts about Donna. There will be that opportunity. If you look with me on the bulletin, just a couple other announcements. we are invited to that gospel concert on the 16th, if you're interested in that. The Seventh-day Adventists and we are committed to doing more and more things where we can in fellowship, just to get to know one another. So if you're able to attend, that is the 16th at 6 p.m. You'll see the other announcements there. Just will highlight, I have another conflict this Thursday evening, and we will not have Bible study again Thursday evening. Any other announcements? Let's go to prayer requests then. One that we've kept low-key and will continue to do it, but important nonetheless, and that is Glenn Harvey. Any of us who know Glenn know that part of his beauty is he is a very soft-spoken, non-assuming individual, and but he has appreciated our prayers, and I would ask you to continue to keep him in prayer. We were with him twice this week down in Duke for both of the procedures, and then he came home last evening, so late afternoon. So keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Yes?
Maybe comment on that, and John, you can possibly get this not to be in the recording. I don't remember the date, but as soon as you said that, it reminds me that Glenn's 80th birthday is sometime within the next week. So it would be a wonderful thing if we could.
It's Friday.
Friday. So have
that's a great
cards or phone calls or whatever to.
That's great.
My happy birthday would be wonderful.
Yeah, let Glenn know. Thank you for that. He will turn 80. And I wish I could be more forthcoming when many of you have asked what's going on. It's the pastor in me always hates saying no to anything and not being, but I'm respecting his wishes and just trust that the good Lord is working. And he's feeling better, and the procedures are going well. But he still needs our prayers. And that's a great idea to send him a birthday card by Friday. Thank you. We also want to keep Pat Wheeler in our prayers. She attended our women's group for a while. She broke her wrist, and we want to keep Pat
in our prayers. Talked with Wayne Williams yesterday. He is doing much better. Not here today, so maybe he slept in, but he's doing much better. Went to Golden Corral yesterday, and so keep Wayne in our prayers. And I got a text from Dave this morning. B is having a difficult time, so keep B Gardner in your prayers. Any other items for prayer that anyone? Yes, Carrie.
I met a couple at our brother's house this weekend. They're 91 and 93, and their names are Joyce and Stanley. And if you could pray for safe travels for them, they took an Uber from Raleigh to Virginia Beach this weekend for a baby shower, and they will be Ubering home again today.
From Raleigh to Virginia Beach?
Yes. And they're 91 and 93 years old.
Joyce and who?
Stanley. They're the cutest couple ever, but we could just pray for safe travels, because the first Uber ride here was a little bit, it was an experience for them.
You know that old thing about not talking to strangers and getting in their cars? That's really gone out of the window.
They were
adamant
they were getting here, so that's what they did.
Well, things family will do. I thought you were going to be mentioning your flags, but is this the day that your nephew Colin comes out of?
He came out of the crucible. If he made it through yesterday about 6 in the morning. Today, I think it's after 1 o'clock, he gets liberty. So just waiting to hear a phone call from
him. That's great. Let's continue to keep calling our prayers as he's completing his boot camp with the Marines. Any other prayer? Yes, Kathy.
And keep our children in your prayers, that they will begin to find God in their hearts.
We join with you in your prayers. And I think I speak for many of us that we'd ask your prayers for a whole lot of us who lift up family members and children in their walk with Christ. So we certainly will join with you in that. Any other items for prayer? Yes, Craig.
My mom's going to have a procedure tomorrow. It should be minor, but at her age, her complications, nothing's really minor.
3 p.m.?
3 o'clock.
Okay. Let's keep Jenny Stevens in our prayers. Thank you. Yes, David.
Helen and Judy.
Judy coming along?
Coming along.
Good.
Gets the stitches out tomorrow.
Good deal. Anyone else? Yes, Kim.
I'm praise because I walked in here to the parking lot.
Amen.
So, yes, the shot was not great to start with, but it is definitely helping. It's taking care of the side of my knee pain, so I still have the other part, but at least what had been very problematic has greatly improved.
That's great.
Thank everyone for their prayers.
We're tickled with you. And Robert Wright had flu earlier in the week, and he was feeling much better, but I can't raise him today. On the phone, and he's not here. So let's just keep Robert and Heather and all in our prayers. Any one of us. Let's go to the prayer. We thank you for all the blessings we have. We must stop and say thank you first and foremost. For even if we didn't get to the petitions, we will spend all eternity praising you for all the blessings that you showered upon us. Simply for the fact that we awoke this morning, we are incredibly blessed. And not only did we awake, we know from your word that we awakened to find your mercies new and fresh every day. Your love for us never tires nor becomes stale, but it's fresh and new. You relish and fall in love with us every moment. Through your Spirit, may we do the same as we focus upon the goodness of God. In doing so, we truly will taste and see that the Lord is good. So we thank you. We also thank you for the privilege of being able to worship. We come as a reminder and a discipline that we are to be Christ-centered in our lives. All those things that bark to be first in our lives are silenced when we come to hear the voice that silences all the chaotic waters. When we come together to seek the one who's above all. So we thank you for worship. And we thank you for the privilege of being your children that are cared for with great detail. Your knowledge and love for us is imminent and intimate. With great detail and ever present. So we thank you. And we pray that you would attend to all those that have been mentioned. We thank you for those that won't quit. And we thank and rejoice, even though we've not met them, of Joyce and Stanley, their dedication, their commitment. And just be with their traveling mercies as they travel back home. We pray that you would be with those who are in different places of health concerns. We pray and lift up Jenny Stevens tomorrow and her procedure, that would go well. We continue to lift up Helen. We pray that you would be with Judy. We pray that you'd be with Glenn. Draw close and give him peace and comfort. We pray that you'd be with Robert. We pray that you would be with Heather. Just help her to choose to make choices that will make her life easier. Give her the strength and the wisdom to do so. We thank you for things that have gone well. We thank you that the shot was efficacious for Gail. We pray that you'll continue to be with her. We pray that you'll continue to be with Bea as she's recovering and having difficulties in doing so. We just pray, committing all to you. We thank you for Colin. We thank you, knowing the rough spots in his short life and just the positive event that this can be for him. We thank you for his toughness in sticking with it, and we pray that he will look back and just see that becoming a United States Marine was one of the greatest things he's done. We pray that you would also continue to work in him, draw him to you in faith. As we join that prayer that he would grow in his faith with you, we join with Kathy and Werner and with so many of us, asking that that particular loved one, a child, a parent, a sister, a brother, an aunt or an uncle, a cousin, that particular person that comes to mind at this moment, may you continue to, with great love and compassion, draw them into your grace. And we thank you that even when we are unaware of it, your grace showers, covers, and protects us all. So we gather through that as we gather to worship. In your holy name, amen. If you'll look with me to the bulletin, the front of it, that is, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your paths. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation for whom we wait. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your mercy. Holy Spirit promise. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and uphold us with the Holy Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the first seven verses of Psalm 72 before the Bankies come and light the second Advent candle, then we will stand and sing Joy to the World, 181. Give the King your justice, O God, and your righteousness to the King's Son.
That he may rule your people righteously and the poor with justice.
That the mountains may bring prosperity to the people and the little hills bring righteousness.
He shall defend the needy among the people. He shall rescue the poor and crush the oppressed.
He shall live as long as the sun and moon endure, from one generation to another.
He shall come down like rain upon the mowed field, like showers that water the earth.
In his time shall the righteous flourish. There shall be abundance of peace till the moon shall be no more.
Destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
We are the followers of that root of Jesse Isaiah spoke of. We are the ones who are now called to stand as a signal to the world, to all of creation, that peace is the will of the one who created us. Peace is the knowledge of the Lord that we proclaim from sea to shining sea.
In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near," and "Bear fruit worthy of repentance."
We light these candles, the candle of joyful hope and the candle of proclaimed peace, in part to remind ourselves that we are a people rising toward God's promise. But we also light them as a sign to the world, an announcement there are some who hold on to hope, and there are some who work the ways of peace. We stand as a sign that Emmanuel is still our fervent prayer.
Thank you. first lesson is Isaiah 11, 1 to 10. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together. And a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. He ends the first lesson of the day.
Thank you.
his coming, we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your grateful children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second lesson, Romans 15, 4 to 13. Whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with this people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Here is your second lesson.
Thanks, Jesus.
Thank you.
our eternal peace. We have no other, but we need none other when the one we have is the eternal Son of God, high lifted up. Amen.
Gospel reading is Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Thus saith the Lord."
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. Our gracious Lord, we thank you for the blessing of being in your house already, hearing your word, singing your praise, being with each other, knowing that you are here. And because you are here in word and sacrament, we truly have grace and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our problem with believing, and like the disciples of the first generation, we believe, but we probably cry out verbally or not spoken, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." We all struggle to believe. We all struggle to maintain our faith at an optimum level. We have not loved the Lord with all our heart. We have not exercised a perfect faith. And I'm going to suggest to you that our problem with believing is more of a when issue than a that issue. In other words, we know that God is good. Right? You know that. You know that His will be done. You know that. You know that all things are working out for good. You know that. But my goodness, when is He going to do it? When is it going to happen? I just want to take a little poll. How many of you have ever prayed for something and it just looked like God was taking His own sweet time? About all of us. And I want to suggest to you that faith is nothing more than being okay with time. Or from our perspective, what even might look like a delay. We know how Martha and Mary felt when the death of their brother could have been avoided had Jesus just been a little bit more punctual. And they had the gumption to say, "If you had been here, if you hadn't drug your feet, our brother would be alive." And we,
while we may not be as audacious, but I dare say that we probably are, maybe not in formal prayer, but in things we mutter, verbally or not, we just think, all right, I know that God's at work, but he sure is late. He's delayed. Do you know what the last statement? You always need to be careful what you say to someone, because you never know when it's the last thing you say to them. Has it ever hit you what the last thing the disciples said to Jesus before he ascended? It was a question, wondering why it was so slow. Is now the time that you're going to set up your kingdom? And I think they are paradigmatic of us. We struggle with timing. We're an impatient lot. We want it, and we want it right now. And I am preaching not to you. You get to overhear me preaching to me. Because if you think I have mastered this, well, all of you know me long enough. You know I haven't mastered this. But I'm confessing it to be true. But see, the truth is, and we must confess, and we must remind one another, and we must say to our souls that God is never too slow. God is never too late. God doesn't just do things in the nick of time. I'm going to suggest to you that faith is stating that it's already done. It's already done. We read scriptures that leave us scratching our heads when we read in Ephesians 1 that we're already blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. We're already eternally settled. Things are already taken care of. We're not waiting for Jesus to say, "It is finished." He spoke, "It is finished." And then he rose again to demonstrate that it's done. So the win of the kingdom is right now. Because the kingdom is wherever Christ is. And Christ is eternal. There's always been the kingdom of God. Because there's always been the Son of God, Christ. I find it interesting. I was reading an article. If you read secular books, and even some Christian books have felt the need to act sophisticated and change this. Have you noticed that the ancient old nomenclature to divide the years of BC and AD has changed? Have you noticed that in reading? It's no longer before Christ, and AD is not after the death, it's Anno Domini, the year of our Lord. And now they've gone from to BC, which is BCE, which is before the common era, and CE, which is the common era. And it's an attempt to sidetrack or to shelve Jesus Christ. But the interesting thing is, and I like to ask people this, what do they still use as a dating for BCE and CE? They've changed the nomenclature. But the reality, the truth is the same. Jesus Christ in his kingdom is the center part of all of history. So the kingdom is now because Christ is now. Look with me in Luke 4. When Christ began his ministry in Luke 4, he actually quotes from the Gospel of Isaiah. He goes into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he asks for the scroll, and he intentionally finds the Gospel of Isaiah in the Old Testament. And he reads from the Gospel of Isaiah. And then I want you to see in verse 20 what he does after he read. And he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant and sat down. In the eyes of all in the synagogue was fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The truth of the matter is, this scripture had been fulfilled from all eternity, because there was never a time where Christ was not the second person of the Trinity. That's why everything has been all right from all eternity. You see where we're starting to have trouble with our faith? Because when we look around, we don't see it. Like the prophet in the passage that Sue read today, it looks highly unlikely. A tree that's going to come out of a stump? If we've planted a bunch of trees in our yard over the last year or two, I'm quite proficient now at digging holes. Still haven't found much joy in it, but I know how to dig a hole. Well, if Sherry called me and said, I have just planted a tree, and I did all the work, and it is so big that birds and squirrels from a 15-mile radius can come and find refuge in this tree, and I rush home, what are my expectations? I'm looking to look up and see something big. But if I look down and see that she's planted a stump, I'm going to think one of us has lost our mind. Because that's not how it works. That doesn't meet our expectations. And Isaiah, in a way that's so practical, says that this is where we have struggled with our faith. We don't have a lot of data from what we see that meets our expectations. But the promise is, the truth is, we serve a God where big trees come from stumps. I used to carry an acorn in my pocket to remind me that that acorn is an oak tree. Everything about the oak is in that acorn. It's a timing issue. It's a wind issue, but it's there. Somewhere along the way in my absent-mindedness, I've lost the acorn, and now I carry a cross in my pocket. It reminds me that the truth is, it's a timing issue. It's a timing issue. And we ask daily that Christ would come, knowing that he has come. Luther spoke of four comings of Jesus Christ, and I think this is very practical, and I think you'll know them with me. The first coming of Christ is what we'll celebrate in 2 or 3 weeks. He came to Bethlehem. In the fullness of time, he came and became flesh and dwelt among us. But we also know there's several other comings. He promised to come every time the word is preached and the sacraments are administered. He also, thirdly, promised to come at the second coming. And we look forward to that. But there's another coming, and Sarah played it during the offertory. He promises to come to our hearts, to our souls, at our point of greatest need. And we're to ask him to come. We're to ask him to come and to make occupancy in our souls and in our lives. Corrie ten Boom said, it doesn't matter. Yea, Christ could have been born 1,000 times in Bethlehem. But until he's born once in your heart, at that point of greatest need, all the other is for naught. See, he doesn't say when. Hope doesn't say when. Hope says where. And where our hope is wherever Jesus Christ is. It's ironic. It's not ironic. That's the wrong word. It's wonderful to me how the Spirit leads things. And I knew the sermon I was preparing and have been preparing. And Tricia, and maybe some of you others, and Sherry, read this woman named Ann Voskamp. And she had the tragedy of seeing her sister be run over and die. And she's written stuff out of that, and she struggled. And it's hard to see that there's any hope or any peace. It's hard to believe when it just looks like a stump and a dead one at that. And she wrote this about Advent, and I think it's quite fitting, and I'll use it to draw our thoughts to a close. Maybe today we simply need to replace one three-word strand absolutely no way. With a three-word cord that is a lifeline that will never let us go. Hope in God. Hope only seems lost when you can't find a way forward. But maybe you don't need to know the way forward. Because hope has a map, and hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus is the way, and when he is your way, there is always a way forward. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Because of the way, hope knows the way forward. And hope always comes back to you to make a way forward. Hope in God. You cannot lose hope. Because hope has a name. And his name is Jesus. And he is the homing wings of heaven who never stops returning home to your heart. This is the way forward. He is always present. Hope in him. I recall one story in the Gospels where they're in a boat on the water. There's several stories that way. And this is the one where they're in a deep storm. And Jesus is with them. But do you remember in the story where Jesus is? He's down in the boat, just having a wonderful nap. No problem in his life. He's in the storm. And it, like us, perturbed the disciples. And it's interesting that they did not wake Jesus up, criticizing him and demanding that he fix it. At that point, I don't know if they had the faith of knowing or even the knowledge of knowing that he could still the storms. You remember what they were angry about? Why aren't you as distraught and defeated and worried as we are? Brothers and sisters, I would suggest that's our situation. That's the boat we are in. Even when we are frantic, even when we are without hope, even when we are anxious and worried and have given up any joy or peace that all is well, Jesus is still in the boat. Hope has not gone anywhere. He's still there. I sort of wish it was dark. If it was dark, I would leave you with illustrations I could do in the dark that I couldn't right now. And the truth is, and I've done this, in a room with lights, to ask you to close your eyes. And when you close your eyes, I would then ask you, are you in the dark? And the truth is, no, you're not. You're still in the light. The light didn't go anywhere just because you closed your eyes. The light still shines brightly. You just closed your eyes. But you're not in the dark. Brothers and sisters, when we understand this, our peace comes from knowing that our hope doesn't go away, for our hope is eternal, because our hope is Jesus Christ. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we just need to open our eyes and see that it already is. And we can simply say thank you and amen. Let us confess our faith by standing and saying the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Holy are you, God of Jesse, for the branch of our salvation is rooted in you. To Abraham you promised to raise up a people bound to you in love. And through the household of David you brought life greater than our imagining. In a child of grace, Jesus our Lord, though we deny your love for ourselves and seek to limit the reach of your mercy to others, you beckon us to repentance, open our eyes to new life, and embrace us to join your family of faith. In your Son's death, we see the depth of our sin, yet in his resurrection, we see the extent of your grace. You bless us beyond reckoning, for you welcome us into the company of prophets and apostles and saints on earth and in heaven, with whom forever we sing your praise.
Holy, Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Anointing God, your Spirit rested upon your Son with wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and fear. In Christ, you have anointed your future out of our past, your kingdom out of our plans, and your salvation out of our poverty. As your Spirit rested upon him, send down that same anointing Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again."
Astonishing God, your prophet Isaiah envisioned a day when the wolf and lamb would lie down together, and the leopard with the kid and a little child would lead them. Astonish us anew by your gentle ways of peace. Shape your church to live from faith, not fear. Make your future present through the lives of those who show us how to love our enemies. Hasten the day when the earth will be full of the knowledge of you, and your fullness will be all in all. And all creation, from the depths of the sea to the heights of the mountains, will know the peace to which your Son shall lead. Awaken that dawn when we are surrounded with everlasting praise to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brothers and sisters, you know it's in the psalm that has at its heart the hinge upon which everything else turns. It's in the psalm that speaks of all of us having to walk through the darkest valley of the shadow of death. It's in that particular psalm where we confess at the beginning, "Even in the midst of the valley, the Lord is my shepherd." And we confess that he prepares a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And our hope knows that surely goodness and mercy shall follow us
all the days of our life. Surely goodness and mercy meet you today, comes to you at this table. For as the kingdom is Christ, so the Passover lamb we celebrate is Christ. We come and we receive him who is eternal and whose love for us sustains us in every valley we are in. The table is spread. Let us keep the feast, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, with sincerity and truth, are invited to come. Amen.
Thank you.
We thank you, our Father, for giving us your Son, and through the Holy Spirit, we together as your church can be nurtured, healed of all our sins, forgiven of all our shortcomings, strengthened in all our infirmities, and given new hope to walk in absolute newness of life when the path is easy and when the path is dark. You are God yet. And we say thank you that all is well. Amen. Most important truth, you think, and many have said this throughout the history of the church, most important thought you have is, how do you think of God? Your thinking of God will either completely uplift you and support you and give you peace, or it'll defeat you and frighten you. If you think God is a limited being, wringing his hands, hoping for the best, but not able to do much, you've got another thought coming. And that is that he is the eternal one, the high and lifted up one, the one from beginning of creation to the end of the consummation are ruling all things according to his will and plan. Your situation is a cakewalk for him. Hope in our Lord, who comes to you where you need him to be and to be found. But ask him. In that light, let us stand and sing together. Hymn 175, O Come, Emmanuel.
Thank you.
sung response to the benediction, then I'll declare the service over. If you have to leave, leave. I'll be there to greet you if you can't stay. But for the rest of you, just remain here. We have agendas, and we'll go straight to our brief meeting. Let us hear the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore.
May the God of the child bring you joy this season. Celebrate while you wait. Jesus' birth is the
service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.